So, hello, this is Ned Coltman. I'm a PhD student and an associate member of the SFB 1313, and I have the pleasure to be sitting here today with Professor Insel Neuweiler from the Leibniz University of Hannover. Professor Neuweiler, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the SFB team?
Okay, my name is Insel Neuweiler. I'm at the moment professor in civil engineering at the Leibniz University of Hannover, and I've spent several years here in Stuttgart. I studied physics long time ago in Heidelberg, and after that time I drifted into engineering and fluids and porous media. I did a PhD with Wolfgang Kinzelbach at the ETH Zurich, and already at this time was involved in flow and fractures and the question of upscaling. And this is a question that Rainer Helmig, who's the speaker of this SFB, was also working on and thinking of a lot. And so I know Rainer since a long time from my PhD thesis on over the work. And then I spent several years at Imperial College in London with the petroleum engineers. And after that, I had a so-called junior research group. It's an Eminöter Nachwuchsgruppe funded by the DFG. And I was supported strongly by Rainer Helmig. And so I did this time here in Stuttgart and therefore was involved at the Institute. And we share research interests strongly with two-phase flow and porous media and the questions of upscaling. And during my time here, I had a lot of interaction. And then I got this position at the University of Hannover and went to Hannover. And over the whole years, we were always involved over different projects. And I mean, I already kind of had an affiliation to the group in Stuttgart. And how I got involved in the SFB, to be honest, I don't know. I was asked to be on the advisory board, and the SFB just started, so I'm very excited to see what's going to happen, and I'm looking forward also to this first symposium in Blaubeuren I'm going to attend, and I'm looking very forward to see what's going to start now and the questions that will be addressed. I should say it's not only focused on Rainer Helmig, it's the whole environment, also with Holger Stieb. I mean, I didn't have projects, but I know him since some time and over discussions. So it's the whole environment, so to say.
Great. Yeah, I know you just said this, that there have been, this is not the first collaboration. There have been many collaborations. We actually know each other from a different DFG project. But today you're here, not in the context of soil-atmosphere interfaces, as we know each other from, but today, this afternoon, you'll be giving a lecture as a part of our prestigious Annelies Niethammer lecture series. And we're all very excited about this. Could you give us a quick preview of what you'll be talking about?
Yes, I'll be talking about data simulation as a method to make predictions of soil moisture, actually, but I mean model states in soils. And the reason why I find this topic interesting, or why I went into that, is because, as I said, I've worked a lot on upscaling of two-phase flow, and I was always very interested in soils. I think they're very interesting systems. So they also have this, you have two-phase flow processes with water and air, but they are very relevant for everything that happens, the environment and for energy balances. And so I think they're fascinating. They're a great system to work on. And I worked a lot on upscaling again, on this, how do I upscale these flow equations and double continuum modeling approaches, things like that. And over, collaboration with others, came then to the questions, how do I apply this? And if I now want to get real and want to make predictions with these models, how can we profit from our upscaled models or our ideas, how structure heterogeneity influences these models? And I was convinced that if we have better models, we can make better predictions. And then trying to get this more into application, so if we have then data and want to make predictions. And I have to say, it was a steep learning curve, learning that models alone are not that important. And if we want to apply them in reality to real systems, other questions come to play that are also very relevant. And then this kind of led a bit into the direction how physically based actually are our models? And can we claim they are really physically based? And do we, I mean, if we really say the goal is to make predictions, should we go in the direction saying we want to improve the models further to better understand true physics? Or should we rather say we admit that they are not perfect and they are, but then we are getting on slippery slope, huh? Because then we are getting into the direction of boxes, yeah? So not black but maybe gray. And so at the beginning this is something I really didn't, it was completely against my the direction of research I've done before, and but I found it very, very interesting, so I like the topic and therefore I will present about that, yeah.
That's really interesting to maintain perspective, although you might be going deep into a scientific topic, always keeping in mind what your goals are and if you're even getting closer to them. That's a nice idea. This lecture series also not only aims to highlight the specific scientific advances that are occurring within our collaborations, but the hope is also to bring the work of women in science and technology and engineering and mathematics to the front stage. You've managed to become a very well-respected female researcher in a, unfortunately, male-dominated field. Do you have any advice for people in our generation on how to develop a work environment that's encouraging for everyone?
This is a very difficult question. I can talk for a very long time.
Okay.
If you say a work environment, of course, then I should not say family-friendly, and because this is still, I think, one of the big topics. Everybody knows if you want to go into academics in any direction, that's not a 9-to-5 job, and it's something that requires a lot of your energy, time, and something. This is, of course, difficult if you make these decisions in times when you want to start a family, and I think this, but this is well known, huh? And so it's of course important to have measures. I think not only for female, I think I would really very much like if there were also males who had this problem, yeah, who would then also saying I need some time off, I need to look after my family, and I think this is something we should encourage more. And yeah, I mean, this is important, but I have to say also those who are at this stage, my advice would just be to network, to especially when you are in a male environment, find your allies, your female allies, to support each other and to exchange. Of course, networks are always important, and you should of course also have males, male networks, but to look particular for female colleagues to support each other, I found very, very helpful. Now, especially at the level when you're at the university, where it's not sad enough, but it's not, a lot is not about science, a lot is about power and politics and these kind of things. You can try to avoid it, but that's very often very difficult. So somehow you get into that sooner or later. And this is something that was my experience, that probably it's, for not for all, I mean, it's never black and white, but for lots of young females that is not so easy. That is something where one has to learn to live with the idea that not everybody likes you, for example, and that it's not the goal that everybody likes you. And for these things, it's very helpful if you have a network of other female colleagues. You can just talk to openly about these things.
I guess do we have time for one more question? So back to the context of your research, I noticed that you managed to tackle a very broad range of scales, a broad range of applications, industrial, environmental, everything from regional analysis to fracture analysis on small scales. I guess this last question would be more of looking for advice for people in our integrated research training group for the younger PhD students.
Mm-hmm.
What are your methods? How do you identify the problem or gain confidence to say, this is a problem I need to be looking at? And how do you maintain the momentum throughout a project?
How to maintain momentum is sometimes tough. I mean, if you start with an idea, you think this is a very good idea, then you realize it's not relevant, or it's not something different is relevant you didn't see at the beginning, and or you see or you realize that what you wanted to do in the first place is just not possible, and you have to learn it's not going to work out like you thought, and this is always tough, of course, and then one has to be flexible. One has to adapt and to change the plan. I think the important thing is to keep an open mind for that. I mean, to look around, to see what other people do, to read the literature and to get new ideas. The advice is only to keep an open mind, to try to stay connected to the neighboring fields or to people who do maybe things in the same direction but different, so that you have that helps to get ideas how to change so that you can still get something successful out. But it's not an easy thing. It's usually very painful.
Your answer was exactly what I was looking for. So
okay,
that was I was thinking that developing the confidence to say that this is the right thing to do is not one first changing, as you said, and two difficult to develop. So thank you. That was great.